it. Doesn't matter the cost, cause everybody wants to be famous. I'm calling shots, so see you over at Mars. It doesn't matter the cost, seems like everybody wants to be famous.
Nobody's ashamed. Everybody wants you to know the name.
Everybody wants to know nobody's ashamed. Everybody wants
to be famous. Everybody wants to know nobody's ashamed. Everybody wants you to know the name.
Everybody wants to know nobody's ashamed. Everybody wants
to be famous.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Thoroughbred horse racing is back in Virginia as Colonial Downs conducts its More Racing, More Money summer season presented by Woodford Reserve. An early week racing schedule and average daily purses of $625,000. The 9-week meet runs from July 11th through September 7th with racing every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m. Wager on Colonial's 50-cent pick 5 with a low 12% takeout and a new carryover provision.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Thoroughbred horse racing is back in Virginia as Colonial Downs conducts its More Racing, More Money summer season presented by Woodford Reserve. An early week racing schedule and average daily purses of $625,000. The 9-week meet runs from July 11th through September 7th with racing every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m. Wager on Colonial's 50-cent pick 5 with a low 12% takeout and a new carryover provision. All races will be broadcast on TVG this summer. Colonial Downs racing Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide.
test, test, test. Hey, Case. All right, there we go. Test, test, test. Level, level, level. Higher, lower, lower. Perfect. Test, test, test. Audio. All right. I still haven't figured out the balance thing here. It's very strange. You good? Test that.
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough!
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Monday. Race fans, Sirius 219 XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM that way, or at our website, stevebick.com. And if you were listening to the replay just seconds ago, you probably heard me say, Colonial, talk to you from Colonial. Well, I am talking to you from Virginia. We got that part down, right? We're in Virginia, but we're not at New Kent. We're not at Colonial Downs. We'll be there tomorrow. We didn't get lost, exactly. But if you noticed, after we got off the air on Friday, they canceled the card today at Colonial. And that sort of triggered a series of interesting events while we were in Jersey. And so as a result, we detoured toward the western part of the state and are near Charlottesville at unbelievable Keswick Hall, and had been invited here, as it happens, by Rob McNamara, the club manager, and those in the area and those that know, you know, the Virginia scene, know where Tina and I are, but it was just funny because Rob had invited me to his former club, the Farmington Country Club, and has made the move to this unbelievable facility. It's a hotel, it's a golf, incredible Pete Dye golf course, almost like a Lynx. If you're a golfer, you know what Pete Dye's courses look like. And anyway, pools, and they're opening a spa. It is a just a incredible spread. Now, sadly, I was going to have Rob join us today. He's a huge racing fan and from Kentucky originally, an LSU guy, a notable golf career, was, other than Jack Nicklaus, the youngest amateur to play in the U.S. Open, and played on the U.S. National team. And David Toms, he and David Toms were a team, and Rob loves the game. Was at Saratoga for opening weekend, happened to see him, and then anyway, the thing with Colonial happened, and both Rob and Debbie Easter from the Virginia Equine Alliance, they said, why don't you come out to Keswick and broadcast Monday? So that's what we did, and that's what we're doing. We'll be at Colonial tomorrow, though, and looking forward to that. Obviously, the card, not as celebrated. They actually pushed the Monday card and specifically the Colonial Cup to Wednesday and didn't redraw. They, you know, rebooted it intact. So that Colonial Cup, we'll be able to preview it tomorrow, and we'll talk to all the Colonial faithful with Jill Byrne and Jessica Paquette and Jason Beam. It's going to be fun. Kate Dalton, who won the Smithwick. She and husband Bernie winning the AP Smithwick last week. Kate will be there as well. So we'll do the big Colonial conversations tomorrow, all right? Wednesday, as you know, we're headed to Chincoteague to see the ponies, the pony swim. And so what you're going to get on Wednesday, the Seth Merrow Show. Seth will host the show live from Saratoga. On Wednesday. Should be fun. Casey, that might be news to you. In fact, he wants to test, but I think he should have no problem. Casey, and we appreciate everybody's understanding about Friday. Case went back to the hospital and had a couple of overnights, a couple of nights, but was able to escape yesterday and is feeling better. And he's at the controls. So Wednesday we'll report anyway from the pony swim, which we're absolutely excited to see. And apparently it's going to be a mob scene because it's been 2 years. And there's people that have it on their proverbial bucket list, things that they want to see before they can't. So you can't book a boat ride. You can't even book a kayak to go out into the channel and observe the. There'll be tons of kayaks, but forget it. There's no way to be on the water to see it, so we'll see it from the shore. And then Thursday, we got another crazy treat. Going to be at Delaware Park on Thursday. I'm just thinking about this. Keswick Hall today, Colonial tomorrow, Seth with a guest spot on Wednesday. And we'll see if we can't get Chuck to come and join him and co-host and help him. Then me from Delaware Park on Thursday, and then from the racetrack back at Saratoga on Friday, leading into Jim Dandy and the Vandy, and a big day coming up on Saturday. And we'll start talking about the three-year-olds momentarily after the Haskell. But it should be a phenomenal week. Thursday, not only will I be at Delaware, and if you can connect the dots, you know that the Joe Gracie, the JJ, will be there. And I got Tony Black to come up or down to Delaware Park. So JJ and Tony, who together won an estimated 600 races together, this should be a lot of fun, actually. And I'm looking forward to that as well. So a crazy, frenetic week ahead. And speaking of crazy and frenetic, where do we start on the weekend between Saratoga and Monmouth and Delamar's opening weekend? There was just so much that transpired, and some of it, I mean, most of it, outstanding racing-wise, a few things that that make everybody crazy when it comes to racetrack administration. I'm not starting the coverage with with the circumstance, particularly yesterday, when it comes to stalled tractors. We're going to start with Haskell Day appropriately, and about as perfect under hot weather, hot conditions as you could possibly want. And when I tell you magical, when it came to the feature, how many times in the last couple of weeks leading into Haskell, how many times did I say what a Haskell win would mean to owner Al Gold? And we kept equating it to Mike Rapoli and the celebratory Belmont victory and being local. This one is, in a lot of ways, it's even more special. And obviously this is a horse that Al purchased on the recommendation of young Joe Hardoon, brought up essentially in the game by his father, the famed and admired and appreciated John Hardoon, the Figures team. And, essentially a lifelong friend of Al's. So there's just, the thing just has, family connections written all over it. And Cyberknife's performance, and it upset. The way in which we focused, obviously, on Jack Christopher and on Taba, there's a lot to digest, I think, about everybody's efforts in here. And it, not just the performances, but also the development curves. And that to me, everybody's talking about some seemingly extraneous topics when it came to the outcome, including criticism of Mike Smith and the limitations distance-wise of Jack Christopher. I don't necessarily buy into any of that. The three top finishers ran very well. And to me, one of the things that was really notable here, Jack Christopher trying to make that, that transition and they take the next logical step, two turns, the mile and the eighth, and Taba, who, was making only his fifth start for Jack Christopher. Cyberknife was making his ninth start. And I think we'll see what Mig and Johnny and tomorrow Andy Serling, I want to get some of their insights. But I think this, to me, one of the stories afterward that kind of was rattling around and certainly in my head was, this is a horse in Cyberknife that had a lot of work, not that work hasn't gone in, obviously, to Jack Christopher and Taba, but this is a horse that had that much more seasoning and had encountered, more of a variety of circumstances. And from previous discussions with Al after the Arkansas Derby and with Brad Cox as the horse came along, that this was a project. This was a headstrong and difficult horse, and this win, there's so many parts of this that are fascinating. There's the horse himself and managing and harnessing and bringing one along to maximize their potential. And I think that's the core story in retrospect. This was really between the ride from Giroux, which was patient and perfect and made all the right moves at all the right times, and for Jack Christopher's portion, obviously the obvious path is to turn back at least temporarily and target the Alan Jerkins, the next good grade one opportunity for him to become a three-time grade one winner. But I'm looking forward to talking to Chad Brown about this. He ran fine. Think about Harvey Pax, long running maxim. Be careful about betting, horses doing something the first time. And while we certainly thought that, I didn't think there was any reason to believe that Jack Christopher wouldn't make this transition, and he did. I made the transition. It's not like he stopped at the eighth pole and straggled home. And Taba, continues to show, and notably a Gunrunner exacta here. Taba is another horse that is a work in progress. Where Cyberknife has, a better rounded and a horse in full almost. It still is only halfway through, the 3-year-old season for these horses. But nine starts is very different than 4 and 5 starts. So it was exciting. And then we'll talk to Al in less than 10 minutes. There's no way not to start the morning's discussion with somebody that I have said repeatedly, and every time something nice happens for Al Gold, an angel gets its wings in this sport. And it, because I'm sure he doesn't want me to, you know, to reiterate it or you know, drive it in when he's there, when he's with us. But Al Gold was taken advantage of early in his experience curve in ownership. And there's a long history of, you know, prominent, successful people being taken advantage of by the unscrupulous. And it's been to the long-term detriment of the game because it's taken people out that walked away disgustedly. Al was disgusted, but he didn't walk away. And he dug his heels in and stuck with it because he loves the game. Grew up in the shadow of Monmouth Park. And when I wrote Saturday night, after the dust was settling, you know, 100% Monmouth County, and that this was a race that I called it his dream race. And as much as, you know, as great as it would be to win the Derby, as nice as it was to win the Arkansas Derby, winning a Haskell for Al Gold is, you know, as special as wonderful as it gets. The family in tow, and I could not, I mean, I just could not have been more elated. And it was a perfect, to me, it was a, you know, I'd be just as happy for, you know, whatever, every set of connections. I mean, Amir Zidane and our friend Gary Young, if Taba wins, and you know, Jim Backey and Jerry Isbister, they've got a terrific, long, successful history around the game, and Chad, but this was one of those unique opportunities for a specific circumstance and place and time and individual. And I got to tell you that when you see this happen as a horse player, as a stakeholder, as a fan, whatever role you take around the game, when something like this occurs, and somebody deserving, everybody, you know, everybody that puts money in the game is deserving, but in this particular case, somebody that, you know, that the pendulum, you know, came back to, for Al to have this kind of horse is just special, and it gives, honestly, it gives those of us that participate and who try, you know, who try to gain any measure, you know, any measure of success for something we're passionate about in the game, this outcome is heartening. It is heartening because I'm sure for Al, who, you know, almost he missed the Arkansas Derby, as we laughed about at the time, because of the travel problems. In this particular case, Al almost, you know, you heard me Thursday and Friday with Tom Lucci, his lifelong friend, and there was a chance that Al was going to miss this. He was sick earlier in the week and hadn't, you know, by Wednesday was really uncertain whether he was going to come down. So, you know, and you think about, you know, you in your mind, when you know you have a good 3-year-old and you have this on your, you know, on the calendar, and you're pointing to it, so many things can go wrong. And you would think, you know, after the Derby, after, you know, and I was with Al to watch the Derby, and it was deflating, obviously, to have happen what it did. Now, suddenly, here you are, and right now, ahead of Travers. I mean, we got the Jim Dandy to run this week, and Epicenter, you know, there's plenty of other candidates, but right now, Travers, you would think a Travers win away from taking complete control of the of the three-year-old championship picture. Whoever, you know, everybody that lines up is potentially the Travers. Well, you got the Travers and you got Pennsylvania Derby. It adds so much more excitement and intrigue to the three-year-old picture. I did happen to notice Epicenter. I saw Dave Greinig this morning, I guess, driving rain at Saratoga. But he said, and the Asmussen camp, you know, a workout 6 days out is not the important work. The important work's been done for Epicenter. But apparently on a wet sealed track today, he got his work in, and so we'll start to look toward the Jim Dandy in a little bit, but in a couple of days. But right now, still appreciating what we saw on Saturday. Obviously, the other part of Saturday's action, Chad Brown, just a spectacular day. And, when it came to search results, and actually we watched essentially with Chad and with Will Schwartz and John Service and Johnny D and Will's son Drew, leader of the band, who had a valiant second behind search results. Search results performance in that Molly pitcher is being underappreciated. She was spectacular and, ran every step essentially and turned everybody away, and there was a couple of moments where maybe it looked like leader of the band could reach her, but she finished well. So Flavian Pratt and Chad with a tremendous run, frankly, I thought we got the one that surprised me. It's amazing how often we're getting prices you wouldn't have expected on Chad winners. And Lamista, I thought that was a gift in the matchmaker, and of course highly motivated in the Mammoth Cup, and Adamo, who was excellent winning the UN. So the four wins from Chad, and it everything seemed to be literally on the cusp of a potential sweep of all the graded stakes, and I thought that Jack Christopher ran valiantly in his first time around two turns, and that was a very enjoyable Haskell. Because you got to mid stretch, and any of the top three finishers, had the chance to win. And what more can you ask for in a $1 million grade one, right? Meanwhile. Not today, but tomorrow, we'll talk to Aaron Wellman and Nest's performance. We were watching in the dining room, obviously, in the Turf Club at Monmouth. Looking forward to that Coaching Club of America Oaks. And Nest, speaking of three-year-olds, holy cow, she was spectacular. She's getting better as the season goes on, obviously. The daughter of Curlin and the Rad Ortiz aboard for Todd. And we'll talk to Aaron tomorrow. Aaron, big weekend for Aaron Wellman to spend the weekend at Saratoga on Del Mar's opening weekend. We laugh with Todd Pletcher we laugh with Jay Privet about home game. Well, it's really a home game too for Aaron. He's on a 10 o'clock flight this morning back home, and they had the nice practical joke winner. He stayed for Sunday with that baby was excellent. Bruce Brown. We'll talk about a few more Saratoga hits before. In fact, Case, you could reach for Al now. We'll talk to Bruce Brown in this hour. Just delighted for Bruce Brown and Robin Sparkles. Speed of the speed. And Caravelle did not break super sharp and kind of, you know, got swallowed up early. And that was, to some degree, that was, you know, a green light for Robin Sparkles. And Javier Castellano, who continues this, you know, outstanding resurgence for him. And Robin Sparkles wins the Grade 3 Caress at a nice price. You know, it's one of the things that when you're building tickets, you think to yourself, you know, should I be a little defensive with a potential wire threat? And that's what she was. And in fact, Nick, I think Nick even meant, right? Nick Tamaro mentioned on Friday the potential to, you know, the Robin Sparkles would be out there. And there was trouble. Miss J. McKay, you know, listen, it's a turf sprint. And as the Alan Jerkins motto, you know, turf racing, one horse wins and six could have or should have. So she'll get another chance. But Robin Sparkles with a huge win. Looking forward to Bruce Brown's visit. Dolce Zell for Chad with in the Lake George. And then yesterday, Clary Air. Boy, she is owned to right now. She is dialed in. And Clary Air, you know, with a tour de force performance in the Shoe V. Malathat left Malathat panting, essentially. So just a fabulous weekend at the, you know, on the East Coast and then on the West Coast. Lots of things that we'll get to when it comes to the Del Mar opening salvos. Phil D'Amato, who we talked about, obviously, with both Steve Anderson and with Brad Free, Phil off to a nice start. Wins the Oceanside on opening day. That Balnikov, I mean, there was a performance, right? Came shooting late, and that was, you know, that was impressive under Umberto Rispoli. And Rispoli also comes back and wins the San Clemente. Nice start for Phil D'Amato. We'll get to a couple of other races. I'll let him know, Case. All right. I told him that you're trying them now. We'll get Al in a minute. Sticking with the Del Mar. The corresponding the filly race, the Oceanitas, which I used as the restricted race. I used it as the Beat Bick race on Saturday, and that Amy C did not run at all. And Avenue de France ended up at 6-1 somehow. How about that? How about that? You know, if you know that ahead of time that she's going to be 6-1, you're all over it. I think we've got Al now. You got Al, Case?
You do.
Hello.
Al Gold yes. Square, joins us 48 hours after winning the boyhood race of dreams for a Monmouth County resident, the Haskell. Al, congratulations.
Thank you very much, Steve. Thank you. It was a hell of an experience, and now that, as you say, 48 hours later, I'm much calmer. You know, it's not like right after the race, I have a girl stick the microphone in my face that and I curse on national television to embarrass myself. You know, at the press conference afterwards, I was nice and relaxed, and I would have answered her question nicely and calmly, but and in the heat of the moment, I reverted to being a child and screamed, you know, lying my 66 years on this earth, screaming like a little kid. But what can you do? You always make a lot of changes in life. A lot of things you say and do are sorry about them later. What can you do? It happens.
It's a game of, as they say, it's a game of risk and reward, and it's a game of high emotion and strong opinion and all the maxims that we attach to racing. I thought you were very calm, and when I got to the winner's circle, you you know, you seemed, I think I said to somebody that I said, he's bewildered. He can't believe that this actually came to be, that this happened. As much as you think about it, you know, from the time you get a good two-year-old to then have it happen the way it does, it does take a time to set, you know, kind of let it sink
in. It does take time to settle in. And, you know, I read all the touts and all the experts, and every single one of them, that must have been like three dozen, other than Michelle Yu, all the other ones were going to be third, were going to be fourth. Somehow we missed the superfecta on some of these geniuses' picks. And I kind of had it in my mind that I thought, looking at Ragnar's numbers, I thought it was a three horses. You know, we had a good shot to win. You know, Baffert was off a long way off, and Chance Horse might not have been able to go the distance, or who knows, but it was when it actually won the race, it was a shock. It was a shock to me that he won. So, you know, you figure in all the numbers, figure in everything the way I look at it, but, you know, it was a shocking result, and it took me a while to calm down and accept it. It took a while. So, now I'm basking. But then I was, whatever.
Well, exactly, and you know, and I'm not going to make light of you being sick earlier in the week, but when I sat down on Thursday and you know was with Tom Lucci in the publicity office doing the show, and he said Al's 50-50, and I was like, what do you mean 50-50? And that's when I texted you to say how you feeling, because after missing the Arkansas Derby, I'm thinking how there's no way they'd have to. I thought they'd have to chain you to a bed if you weren't well to miss this.
I felt terrible. I had COVID, and the week before I was diagnosed with COVID. I didn't have it by the time we got there. I mean, my fever broke. I had 4 or 5 days of being okay, but I felt still very sick inside, coughing, whatever.
Sure.
So I didn't think I was going to go, the day before, I felt good enough to go, and I was fine that day. So it was. I wasn't going to miss it. So I definitely wasn't going to miss it. I was going to crawl there on my hands and knees if I had to, but I made it down there. So it was a great experience. It was really shot. The whole thing was really really was indescribable. You know, I'm going to leave out the adjectives I used on television, but I'll just say it was indescribable. You're watching it. I remember when I won a grade two race there when I just started at the Saratoga Special, and I remember going from the winner's from the seat to the winner's circle, and it was like an out-of-body experience. I heard all the applause, I heard all the noise and everything. And you're just like transformed, going to do it, and it was just like a tremendous experience, and then it was repeated here. It's like an out of body, shocking thing. You watch a million races, and then when you're involved in it, you know it's a different feeling. I don't know if any of that made sense, but whatever it was.
Of course, it makes sense.
Yeah.
And you know, then you've got to fold in the ups and downs that are involved, because I didn't watch the actual race with you, you know, as it was being run, but I was with you for the Derby, and you know that experience when there's all the build up and all the tension and the walkover and I mean the planning and everything that goes into being there, and then you're there. And then the disappointment. I mean, to just have things fall apart and not go right, and it's easy to shrug off and say to yourself, "Well, listen, it's a 20-horse race. It's mayhem every year, and we'll rebound." But at the same time, you know, after winning the Arkansas Derby and then having that experience, you there's got to be uncertainty. Then you're dealing, where do we go from here? And so now suddenly, you go from 18th in the Kentucky Derby to a thrilling win in the Matt Wynn, and then winning the Haskell, and suddenly you're in the driver's seat potentially as 3-year-old champion.
Yeah, it's there's a big disparity in mindset from being a degenerate horse player to being a horse owner. You know, you're looking at things one way, and you're relaxed and calm, and you know, you win one day, you lose one day as a better, and that's it. And it's enjoyable. Every day is different. But when you get involved with the horse game as an owner, you know, you got this bill, that bill. You have different anxieties. This horse can run, and sometimes you get anxiety on a maiden claimer as well as a stake race. So it's a different experience entirely. But now that this horse has seemed to have straightened out, now it's a different kind of feeling around with him. He's if you watch Florent didn't hit the horse at all down the stretch. He just threw the shank, shook the rein, threw some crosses at him, and the horse took off. So he's maturing greatly. The horse, he went straight the whole time. For the first time in one of his races. So now there's a different kind of excitement around the horse, and we're all looking forward to the Trappers now.
Go back for a second, and I said in the opening that I wasn't necessarily going to go down this path with you because we've discussed it before. But I, you know, people have seen me write on Twitter and elsewhere and hear me talk over the years when you've been on. You know, that you had an experience that is not foreign to a lot of people who have entered the game, and that was to have been taken advantage of. And a lot of people, a lot of wealthy people that experience that, they disgustedly leave the game, and essentially as an industry, we blow the turn with those people. And you dug your heels in, and I talk about Satish as well as another person who did the same, but you dug your heels in, and you were resolute about being involved and having the kind of experience that everybody hopes for, and it really does feel fulfilled. I mean, this horse will be a stallion ultimately, and you know, this is the horse that you've worked 25 years to have.
This is true. This is, you know, you have your dream and you have pitfalls and you keep fighting through it and it works out. You know, now, back then I was very naive. I was a horse player. I didn't know that the game was fraught with these characters in it. You know, I thought there would be the colorful Damon Runyon characters. I didn't know that these guys that should be in jail were prominent people in the game, and they still exist today. You know, the faces and names have changed on some of them, but there's still a lot of guys out there that are out there to rob you, and then this is what they do. Now that I'm in the game, more and more aware of who they are, and I stay away from them. But, you know, it's a battle that you go in, you know, you try to get a good horse, you're competing against very wealthy people. You're competing against these partnerships that they don't really care what they spend because it's not coming out of their pocket, and you're dealing with all this nefarious element that you know, self-serving people that just want to rob you, and so it makes it all a difficult game, but it's all part of the game. So luckily, I came through one time. The horse, what a quality horse, didn't get hurt. And everything's worked out well, so it's thrilling. And hopefully, you know, the game expands and more people find an interest and come into it, and the bad people get out. You know, or they see who they are and they don't deal with them.
I think we hit on a lot of this with you after Arkansas Derby, but run through the people that have worked to, you know, make this horse complete. And I did mention earlier in kind of recapping the race that, you know, in retrospect, one of the real advantages that you had and he had coming into this was experience. I mean, was a horse that is, you know, that's now his ninth start, and Taba and Jack Christopher are still in, you know, in their development stages. And, you know, that's part of what, you know, what worked about Saturday. Talk about everybody that made it happen, because I did cite and acknowledge, of course, the Hardoon family and, you know, one of the things that made this so special, I think, and makes it so special.
Well, there's a start with Joe Hardoon for picking out the horse. He's a young man. He's my racing manager, and he has a budding career as a blood stock agent, and he's very knowledgeable, works hard at the game. Then you go to Brad, who has experience with quality horses. He's developed several champions and a young man, a young career, and he's got the whole world ahead of him. You got Flo the jockey, who doesn't get the notoriety of the Ortiz brothers or Gasolino and all these other big names, Rosario, but he's cool and confident as can be when he rides your horse. And these are the people that behind the horse and behind his success. I just pay the bills. I didn't pick out the horse. I don't ride the horse. I don't train the horse. So my role is limited. But these people, did a really good job. And also, Chad Summers, taught Joe what to look at and how to buy a horse. So he's also instrumental in the success of the horse.
Yeah, it always takes a team. Who and I can't remember now. I'm sure we did mention it at the time. Who started him? Who got him ready?
Susan Montaigne in Ocala broke the horse. I've had her for a couple of years, breaking my 2-year-old. I bought Avino Marcano from her. That's how I met her. So she's a lot of success. She's very close with Steve Atkinson. She has horses. She breaks a lot of horses that end up with Steve. And she's very talented and very into the game. It works very hard at it.
Take us around, actually, and it was obvious early in the day, Al, that the speed was going to be good, and you have to wonder, how close are you going to be? Give us a feel for what you were thinking and what was discussed. I mean, I'm sure we'll catch up with Brad this week, but in terms of the way the race unfolded, give us a feel.
I leave my advice to the jockeys and trainers is that don't listen to me. I don't get involved with it. Flo has been out there. He's a veteran jock. I saw him a couple hours before the race. I said he was worried about getting the rail. He says not at all. He said the speed from the outside, we're going to save some ground, and that's exactly what he did. And I was worried with the speed and with setting track records. We broke the track record that was 2 hours old. I thought that was kind of funny that they sped up the track that much. But we learned the horse is very tractable. We thought it usually is within 3-4 lengths of the lead, and he was far back. He was a good 8-10 lengths back early. So the horse has a lot of talent. He's really maturing and improving, and right at the right time. That's just... where I thought of the race, actually.
How'd you bet this, by the way?
I didn't. I had, went so much, the purse is so high, I didn't bet it. I talked to my friends, I thought why the barrier wasn't going to be any good. I didn't care for the trainer's comments, we're doing this for the owners deserve a shot. We have a good shot, we like our shot, our chances today, we're looking forward to the race. It was more like, it didn't have any enthusiasm. Then they had the three horses that had no shot in the race at all.
Yep.
So basically, it was us with Howling Time, Dad Torres, and Baffert. So there was four horses, and it was an unbelievable $234 super. We were playing supers. But I didn't pass the race. I didn't play anything. I happened to hit a race early in the day, and then after that, I didn't play anything the rest of the day. So I was kind of thinking about this too much.
I can imagine. I was surprised. I didn't really notice it until afterward, until I pulled the chart up. I didn't realize that White of Barrio had gone off as the third choice, and that that you went off 780, he went off at $7. You mentioned Michelle Yu liking you. I'll tell you who absolutely doped this out 100% correctly was Marcus Hirsch. Of the racing form, Marcus liked you a lot in here, and he went to town on to be honest.
Probably a Raguson player, because a Raguson sheep, both in this race and the Arkansas Derby, he laid over the field and still paid, like, what did he pay, $13 that day? And in this one, he figured like the other two. So, you can make excuses. You can say that Chance Horse wasn't bred to go this far. The dam sire, is a 6-furlong sprinter. Where is he going with money? And Baffert was off a long time. So, the horse didn't make some sense for the Raguson players. On the fire scale, he was too slow.
Well, on every scale now, you're right at and with the top players in the division, and now you got you're going to have an extra week's rest versus the horses that run in the Jim Dandy on Saturday, Al, and now your second home. You got a chance to win another home race. Considering you Saratoga. You're there almost half the year.
And it's 10 minutes to the track as opposed to 4 hours. So this will be a little bit better this time, a little bit easier to get there, and hopefully everything will be good, and we'll look forward to that. But we have plenty of time to think about it. Hopefully the horse stays as he is in great shape, and we'll see what happens. But, I look forward to the Travers. It would be a great thing to be there for that.
How about Hillary seemed a little wide-eyed by the whole experience. And then how about the kids? What did everybody? Where'd you go afterward? By the way,
we went to a steakhouse. I forgot the name of it. Very hard to get into. My son made a few phone calls, and we got lucky to get into it. Really good, very very good place. I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of the place. But everybody was really excited. Everybody really enjoyed it. My kids don't really, because of being horse players at all, they don't really care for the game. They just come out of family loyalty. The same with my wife. She has no interest in it at all either. But so these big events, they come out and they enjoy themselves. The Derby, other than the 2 minutes of the actual Derby, they love it, their time there. And the same thing with this race, they enjoyed this a lot. They were really elated, in the whole experience, and it was a really good family thing.
Well, and of course, for them, they probably shrugged off the Derby in 10 minutes, and you mutchered over it for weeks on end, and now there's the opposite end of the spectrum.
Well, I knew that wasn't his, obviously his optimum performance, I say. I mean, it was 16 posts. We went out, it was so wide the whole way, and then just flow just wrapped up at the end, and we want to hurt the horse, so we eased back. It was a different circumstance, In retrospect, everybody's going to look at it differently and say that they would have been the Rich Strike thing and stayed in the back and made one run, everything would have been different. But, it didn't work out that way, but he proved himself, in these two races since, that he is one hell of a talented horse. So he belongs with the top, and he's proven that, and we'll see what happens next. But now he's vindicated himself.
Al Gold, Gold Square. Unbelievable. Just fabulous, Al. Just as I told you yesterday, one of the most enjoyable outcomes I've seen in person, knowing what's gone into it. So
it's a wonderful thing, and I'm here relaxing afterwards, and everything's all good now. Nobody with a mic in my face, so now I'm just sitting enjoying it. I can't wait for my 50 minutes of fame to be over, because I do not like this at all. I like spending time with my friends and my family, and not like I said to you, I'm happy to do your show because we were friends, but only after grade one victory.
That's fine. Well, there's potential. There's a few more potential grade ones this year,
yeah.
And this is one of the horses now that has just continued to improve, and looking forward to talking to Brad as well about everything from the horseman's perspective that's been done to harness, because this was a difficult horse. This was a headstrong young horse that needed a lot of attention, and from that standpoint, and you can see it in his development curve, and if you're a figure, anybody that uses any measure of figures can see that the way this horse is steadily improving, and he's an authentic route going type, and there's still plenty of upside. That's what's so exciting, I'm sure, you know, for you, when you sit back and realize
you can't overemphasize the talent that Brad has as a trainer, because he changed the bit, changed the blinkers back and forth till he got the right combination, slowly trained the horse. We didn't send the horse out to the farm for a few months and come back, and who knows what we're going to have. The horse stayed with him all year. He watches him carefully. He has a few hundred horses under his care. You know, he watches the progress of them, and he knows what the hell he's doing. You know, a lot of guys would make a lot of different mistakes, and he's focused, laser focused, and he did a tremendous job. You just can't overemphasize how good it is at what he does. So when you go to the sales, what you hear is, yeah, I bought this horse and selling it to Brad Cox. You just hear that constantly at all the sales. Everybody wants to sell their horses. I just try to throw that in there.
Well, now you can go out in the morning the next several weeks and watch him in the mornings for those of us that are around Saratoga, and whether you come in for a day or a weekend or they're all meet, that's one of the real pleasures, getting out in the morning and watching him gallop and work.
Yeah.
So you can pretty much now start counting down to Travers Day with Cyberknife, and of course, you know, we also we celebrated it quite a bit. Al going into Derby, his prominence also helps the prostate cancer topic get visited and reiterated. He's got that going for him as well.
Yeah, that's the best part. Usually, I give my horse silly names, TV shows or about the Mets or whatever. This one we gave a serious name to for a reason, and hopefully the message keeps getting out there that it's a simple way if you have prostate cancer, that the CyberKnife method is the best method to go to, painless, and fear people don't have fears about anything once they start to go through the process. And hopefully the worst stays out there with the horse, and he carries it through a little bit, and people hear more about it. It's been around for a lot of years, but people don't know about it.
Well, it got a lot of attention in Derby, and as we go forward, certainly there'll be more. Al, thanks for this, and thanks for providing inspiration for anybody that hopes to have a good horse of any ilk, whether it's a maiden winner or a grade one winner or a champion. Your dedication to the game certainly deserved reward, and so satisfying to witness it.
Well, thank you, Steve. I appreciate those words. Thank you.
Al Gold, everybody, you can follow him on Gold Square on 88 on Twitter, and he can be shy, actually, seemingly outgoing, but a little bit shyer than you'd expect in person, and funny, one of those people that when you get to know that just makes you laugh. I mean, he's just. It's just a delight, and for to see the happiness and the joy that this brought. I'm telling you, it if you have anybody that's out there that gets frustrated, You have setbacks. You have a horse, you know, moving toward a what you think is a start. Maybe it's a debut. Maybe it's a stake assignment, whatever level. That's why I say whether in the maiden or maiden claimer or grade ones. It's so easy to just to get frustrated, and especially when you see others, you know, you think you're, you know, on the right track and you've done everything that you're supposed to do to have success in the game, and it doesn't go your way, and it cannot go your way for, you know, a long time, or in some cases ever. This is a fickle, strange undertaking for everybody, for at every single level, whatever your due, whatever your role is in the game. It doesn't, success in any area doesn't guarantee you success at the racetrack. And it's easy to, you know, to throw up your hands and kind of walk away. And, you know, seeing Al have this happen to him, and because I've known him, you know, literally 20 years, the breadth of his experience around the game. And it should provide either motivation or you know, a way to gird yourself against those frustrations. Here's a conversation that we're going to start right now with Bruce Brown. Bruce can certainly identify. And here's a grade 3 win in the Caress with the wonderful Robin Sparkles, who knows one way of going. And there was no stopping her on Saturday, winning the grade 3 sprint. Bruce, congratulations.
Thanks a lot, Steve. Appreciate it.
When you have a horse like this, you know what she's going to do, and you can look at the field. You can say, well, who's going to be out there winging? Who can, you know, who can prompt her or press her? You know, talk a little bit about the opportunity even to get her to this spot and then winning.
Yeah, I mean, with her, it takes out a lot of the guesswork as far as you know, talking to Shockey before the race, you know, and it's just she's kind of run herself into fitness this year. We were the first race that when she won the stake down at Monmouth, you know, we figured she'd need a race, and then even the second race at Monmouth, she still wasn't totally fit, but I think that race really got her where she needs to be, you know, and she showed it the other day. And just, you know, one thing with a horse like her, you know, there's a lot of checking and stuff going on behind her. One thing with a speed horse, you kind of put everybody else, you can put everybody else in tough spots behind you. And that's kind of what she did.
How did you see this, you know, when the pages came out, what were your thoughts?
I'm sorry, what was that?
When the pages came out, I mean, here we, Caravelle was going to be down on the rail, and so you had to think that, you know, if she breaks, she's going to be out there. But, you know, from that point, I mean, what did you anticipate? And talk a little bit, too, you know, about how Javier, you know, what his view was. He had not ridden her, right? Yeah, he had not ridden her.
No, he hadn't, and we kind of, you know, we kind of talked in the morning, and I just mentioned to him that she's, you know, she's just a free running horse and doesn't, you know, she doesn't do well being held very, very tightly. She's kind of one of those you want to just, you know, kind of give her head and let her do her thing. And when the, you know, just looking at the form, I was very happy that Linda's horse on the outside
scratched,
because that looked like a horse that could, kind of be a fly in the ointment. But just, you know, just, I think, you know, kind of thinking how the other people would have looked at it with her speed, with Robin's speed, I don't think like with Caravelle, I didn't expect her to want to, you know, go head and head with us, you know, because it's pretty obvious that, that the front is where we're going to be, and I think it would only be, would have only, you know, would have only hurt her, her chances to try to go head and head. But, you know, it was, you know, just the way, with the way she broke, she wasn't really, she wasn't even really able to press us much at, you know, wasn't able to press us at all because she was back kind of in the wash. So.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, to make her a graded stake winner, that part, that portion of this, you know, can't be, you know, can't be stressed enough what this does for her.
No, it's huge. I mean, she, you know, Mike Schrader, her owner, he's just a, you know, he's a small time guy that's just a hardworking guy. And, you know, it's good to see, it's good to see, you know, it's good to see people like him get a filly like this or mare like this, and you know, and look to bigger and better things even, even when she's done with her racing career. And he's, you know, he's very involved in breeding and the whole, and, you know, every aspect of the business. So it's, you know, it's huge to get that win and added to her resume. And it was actually her, you know, she's so much better on the turf, and it was actually her first turf stakes win. You know, her two previous stakes wins both came on the dirt, which is not her, which is not her preferred surface. So.
Well, we should probably bring back you know, to the start with her and talk about her development. I mean, she broke her maiden at Saratoga, right? As when you dipped her down.
Yeah, it was kind of she was actually entered early in the meet and she got scratched at the gate. She was in the one hole with Saez and really one of the, you know, just a case of being in the gate for so long. She really. She actually cracked her sinus open and was a gate scratch that day, you know, and then we, you know, worked with her in between that and the maiden race. But that was that day was a maiden special weight race. And then after all that happened and everything, we, you know, we kind of reassessed things, you know, let's run her for maiden 40. And, so that's what we did. And then, you know, that she really ran very impressively that day, and you know, kind of most of her gate, knock on wood, she's been, you know, we do a lot of gate scoring with her, but she's been much, much better about all that. So
should also bring in, I mean, she was a May foal, and so you know, I mean, now obviously she's a full-blown mare and fully mature, but you know, when they're young and you know, the 2-year-olds and even into their 3-year-old year, when they're giving away, you know, 2-3 months and change, it's significant at that point. You know, they all also develop at their own speed, and you were very careful with her, and you basically spoon-fed her along until trying her in the license fee, and then, you know, getting that first stake win in the Mount Vernon.
Yeah, no, she's been, yeah, that's another thing with her. She did not run at all as a 2-year-old. And then, you know, so she's always just been, you know, brought along. We've always brought her along very slowly with things. And she's just every year she's just gotten bigger and stronger. She came back this year, you know, just really has put on a lot of muscle, and she's just a big, you know, she doesn't look like she should be as fast as she is, because she's a big long, you know, kind of big long rangy mare. Found what she loves to do.
Well, it's after last year's the try and the caress, a good third there, and added. You mentioned the Monmouth win. You've really handled her beautifully. She's perfect at the 5.5 and you know, plus Saratoga. Talk about, you know, what's out there on the calendar.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good with Saratoga. How these kind of they're kind of few and far between, like stakes for these kind of fillies and mares, but. We're like lucky enough to have two up here in Saratoga with the Caress and then the Smart and Fancy later on in the meet. So, you know, that's going to be our next goal, is to just point for that. And then after that, it's just, you know, then we might have to go against the boys or different things just to try to find different races in her category, just because, like I said, it's not a condition of races where there's a real you know, where there's a ton of different opportunities. So you have to, you know, could involve going to different tracks and shipping around and just trying to find the best spots.
We got to talk about what it means to you, and we talked about Michael Schrader and you know, the value to the mayor, but talk about the graded stake win for you, and you know, you've won a lot of races. This is special as a standalone.
Oh, absolutely! It was my first graded stakes win, and to get it up here in Saratoga, I mean, it just doesn't get any better with the, you know, family and friends here, and to do it for Mike Schrader, who's a very good friend of mine, and just you know, it was really. There's no place like here. You know, just the fans and just everybody appreciates the game so much up here. Just is so, everybody here is so in tune with everything, and there's nowhere else where the fans are so smart and involved and just very happy. You know, happy for you, and people are, you know, still today, people are still coming up to me and congratulating and everything. It's great.
I got to tell you, I was surprised when I realized that it was your first graded stake, because you know, you've had some very nice horses and you know, lots of stake wins, but I was sort of, you know, I raised my eyebrows that's Bruce's first graded stake. I thought Spring to the Sky or Compliance, or I was very surprised.
Yeah, you know, you know, I'm always very heavily New York bred, so
sure.
You know, unless you get one like this mare, you don't get a lot of opportunities for the graded stakes. But yeah, it was great to get that one, and it's you know, just we've had a lot of nice horses and won a lot of, you know, New York bred stakes and things like that. But just to get the graded one was very special.
Well, Robin Sparkles and the New York bred, and New York breds are winning the graded stakes. It's almost gotten to the point where it shouldn't necessarily be, you know, part of the story. They you know, on a regular basis, there's so many good New York breds that are winning at the highest level. But this one of those wins that, you know, it can be widely appreciated and hailed. Talk about you know, the summer and what else is going on in the barn and you know, how things, you know, you win a race like this in the first 2 weeks, pretty much gird you for the rest of the season. But what else is going on the shed row? That didn't sound good.
Okay, there we go.
There we go.
Oh, yep. Yeah, I kind of look at it as, you know, the beginning, middle, and an end up here, and it's good to kind of get this out of the way early on, you know, and then you still, you know, I still have some good chances, you know, some horses that I think should be in some good spots coming up, but it's good to just, seems like the first one's always the hardest one. So, you know, that we got that, and now we can kind of move on and you know, get some other ones in between here, and then we'll have Robin, you know, again towards the end of the meet. So,
how many 2-year-olds are on the line?
Yeah, I have up here right now, I think I have 4. I actually ran one early in the meet. Philly will be will take charge. Philly will be famous. She actually ran pretty good. Came running, so she'll be running back in another week or so with a little more distance, which she should appreciate. And then my other 2-year-olds are could have one or two ready at the end of the meet, but they're a little further. She was definitely my furthest along as far as the 2-year-olds go. So,
what do you do with Valmont? Speaking of you know, nice New York breds.
Yeah, well, last time he bled pretty bad, so he's actually at my he's actually at Mike Schrader's farm right now, so we're just giving him a good, you know, little breather here. And it just with him being a turf horse, it's a little tricky because you want to give him enough time, but you don't want to give him so much time that you miss out on the grass. So I'll probably bring him up here towards the beginning of August, and then not to run up here, but just kind of get him healthy again and look to run him down at Belmont when we get there.
Excellent. Well, Bruce, delighted for you to get this win, get the first graded stake at really a best, making the most of opportunity with this mare, and continued success. And we'll look forward to seeing you here when we get back. We're still on the road another few days.
All right, thanks a lot. I really appreciate it, Steve. Good chatting with you,
Bruce Brown, everybody, and one of the most popular horsemen in New York. And on the heels of the conversation with Al, one of those feel-good winners. We're going to take a break. We're into Hour 2. And when we come back, Rich Migliori standing by. Hour 2 will feature Mig and then Kevin Attard. Haven't even gotten into what went on yesterday at Woodbine. And the Woodbine Oaks winner, this is a serious filly, Moira, and she just, demolished that Woodbine Oaks yesterday. And as usual, when you get a romping Woodbine Oaks winner, you think immediately that she's a Queen's Plate favorite. That one after another, they seem to, you know, shoulder their way in against the boys in the Plate. So we'll hear from Kevin. And in addition to that performance, there were a number of notable efforts. Saturday in the Connaught Cup, Mark Cassie, we'll probably talk to Mark this week. He had a very good weekend. And that Fio de Ariana, if you didn't see the Connaught Cup from Saturday, pull up the replay. Louis Contreras aboard. This is a Gary Barber, Adam Wachtel, and Peter Deutsch product, a Brazilian bred, and this was a super effort. And that's a nice horse. And I'm anxious to hear more from Mark. 101 Buyer winning that Connaught Cup on Saturday. And very excited, speaking of Cassie, Sir For Sure, the Plate Trial winner under Decky Carroll. So excited. After Declan talked to us, you know, going back to, the opening season opening week at Saratoga, and we talked to him on his way back to Toronto. And he got back to Toronto and has gone on a tear. And he wins the Plate Trial yesterday on Sir For Sure, Sligo Bay, for Cassie. Good day of racing yesterday. That Wakanaka, Bill Mott, winner of the Dance Smartly. And there was also the race earlier on the card. The Hendry, there you go, the Hendry. Hazelbrook, Lauren Richards sent out Hazelbrook to the Hendry win, Bayern. In fact, there was a couple of that kind of caught my eye, because there were two Bayern stake winners over the week. Oh, yesterday too, Sweet Harmony for John Terranova and the Gatsis family and their partners won the Colleen at Monmouth yesterday. And I guess as we go to the break bring Mig in. Now I'll mention, I didn't want to start the show off with the tractor disaster, but not the first place, Saratoga yesterday, not the first place that a tractor didn't start, and they had trouble getting the gate off, and so you end up with a no contest. I mean, as it happens, the backup tractor did get, you know, they got the gate removed, but you don't know. You just don't know. So the outrider goes up and, you know, the warning system to have guys pull up. So, people going crazy. Like I guess nobody else ever, that was just horrified by this happening. I guess nobody has ever had a car not start on them. Interesting. There is not. I saw somebody say, "Oh, this would never happen at what? This would never happen where? It happens every single place that there's tractors that move the gate." In fact, Chuck, we should talk to Chuck Simon. Chuck, there was a race. Chuck had a horse at Oaklawn, I remember, and was going to win. And the gate, they couldn't get the gate out of the way, and everybody had to pull up. It happens everywhere. What are you supposed to do? It's a mechanical. We should go back. You know what? We can go back to hitching up a team of plow horses and have the horses pulled. Right? We'll go back to that from, you know, the 1920s. I understand. There's frustrations. There's frustrations when races come off the turf, and there's frustrations. Yes. It's a complex, involved undertaking running a racetrack. This kind of thing, you have to just understand it and shrug it off. I don't know. Or don't. Monmouth had to actually had to cancel. They had that delay, and they ended up canceling one as well. So Saturday was not uncomfortable, I didn't think. I mean, it was hot. It's the summer. It's hot. So we'll talk to Mig. He's going to join us next. Kevin Attard ahead. Johnny, who spent the day Saturday with Johnny D. Everywhere we walked around the racetrack. Johnny D. Back after this, hour two. We're at Keswick, and look on the calendar, look on the map. You'll see where we are. We'll be at Colonial tomorrow after they had to cancel today. Back after this, Rich Migliori joins us at the races, Sirius XM. Hour two.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Thoroughbred horse racing is back in Virginia as Colonial Downs conducts its More Racing, More Money summer season presented by Woodford Reserve. An early week racing schedule, an average daily purse is of $625,000. The 9-week meet runs from July 11th through September 7th with racing every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m. Wager on Colonial's 50-cent pick 5 with a low 12% takeout and a new carryover provision. All races will be broadcast on TVG this summer. Colonial Downs racing Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic.